It's July 2016. Can you believe it? Already?
The sun is burning in the sky. Strands of clouds go slowly drifting by. In the park, the lazy bees are droning in the flowers among the trees. And the sun burns in the sky. Now the sun is in the west. Little kids go home to take their rest. And the couples in the park are holding hands and waiting for the dark. And the sun is in the sun is sinking low. Children playing know it's time to go. High above a spot appears, a little blossom blooms, a man draws near. And the sun is sinking low. Now the sun has come to earth, shrouded in a mushroom cloud of death. Death comes in a blinding flash of hellish heat and leaves a smear of ash. And the sun has come to now the sun has disappeared. All is darkness, anger, pain, and fear. Twisted, sightless wrecks of men go groping on their knees and cry in pain. And the sun has disappeared.
I thought that I had lived through it all. I thought that I had seen it all. I thought that I had experienced all the emotions. But when I saw a 15-year-old boy crying for his daddy, it took whatever was left in me out. I had been saying for months, for years, how I thought that we had turned our back on God in this country. Completely turned our backs on Him. And when we forsake God, we forsook everything. Everything decent, everything loyal, everything pretty. I no longer believe in man. That I believed about man, because of this death, this I'm finished. I'm finished with my country. I'm finished. I have no more. Yeah, and I'm going to put this webcast up too. I have to. I haven't been doing webcasts because I've been at a loss for words. In a country that spends so much money on fireworks and foolishness on the 4th of July when we have nothing to burn but cash up in the sky. I live in Los Angeles, and the night of the 4th of July, it sounded like a war zone everywhere. The sky was lit up. People were burning up money. It's like that song that I just played by Simon and Garfunkel. That was a song of destruction. If you listen to it again, an atom bomb goes off, melts everything, destroys everything. The sun has come to earth. That was their way of saying, we're going to kill ourselves. I had a dear friend of mine, a brother in the Lord, and we're both on the same page 100%. He called me and he asked me what I was thinking. And I said, man, I didn't want to... People, get ready. There's a train coming. And with that introduction, I'm going to try to look for the song and play it for you. And maybe it'll bring some peace of mind. I mean, that's all I can do is I can go back into history and listen to that, and then maybe it can rest my mind. Because really, I'm you know, I haven't had much to say in the past couple of days. I was waiting on this incident because I said, no, it's been too many months, too many weeks since another black man was arbitrarily murdered by police. I said, it's gone on. I hear about the black-on-black murders in Chicago. I have to call my sister, see how she's doing. God help us. We're separated all over this country, and please don't let the phone lines go out, all the electricity go out. I wouldn't be able to find my loved ones. I'd be trapped in this thing called the wilderness of Los Angeles. I was downtown visiting a friend of mine in his beautiful 7th-story apartment overlooking the skyline of downtown L.A. It's beautiful living down there. Muslims moving in. He said in his buildings, so many Muslims in it, he's disillusioned. He said, what is this? Wait a minute. You know, I had a new neighbor move in on the street. And I don't know who this cat is. He moved in. I met him for the first time the night of the 4th of July. I'm out in front of my house. You know, city's burning. I'm out there just trying to make sure I won't have to put the water hose on my house. Bombs, and man, talking about the bomb bursting in air. Lord Jesus, I said, where am I? I'm in Los Angeles. Wait a minute. This guy comes up and he says, hey, you must be the priest. And I said, wait a minute, priest? What the? Where you know me from? This guy just moves in. Leo's house. Leo died a few years ago. Black man, senior city building inspector. He hand built the house on, you know, with his hands on the inside of it. Beautiful. What he did to the remodeling of the house. They came over here, man, and in a flash bought it up. I don't know. These people don't even look like American citizens. I don't know who they are. But he called me a priest. Oh, you must be the priest. Well, the neighbors told me you're the priest. Why is this guy coming in the neighborhood asking questions about who the clerics are? See? What are they getting ready to do? Take over the neighborhood and cut off my head? Man, what is this? Man, you know what? I am serious, people. We need to wake up. America has changed. I don't know what she is anymore. And, because of my belief system, would somebody chop my damn head off? Would they? I believe they would. What do I need to do? Arm up? Us against them? Friends, I've never been thinking like this in my entire adult life until now. You understand what I'm saying? I'm a senior citizen. Well, I feel safe. I have people around me. I'm not paranoid, schizophrenic, and stuff like that. But as a Christian man, and I'm looking at my country, and then when I look at some of this bull crap on the internet that these Christians are selling, survival kits for the end times, doomsday scenario, scaring the bejesus out of stupid people, using scripture totally out of its context to build a pretext. Come on, what kind of a nitwit do you take me for? All these things happening right in front of me. And I'm sitting around here looking at all this bull crap, and I'm saying, even so, come Lord Jesus, or, you know, come back and get me out of here. You know, if there ever was a time when I prayed for divine intervention, it is now, because America, we've just thrown everything to the wind. Now we're reaping the whirlwind. They got more phenomenal stuff happening. I go to my Facebook, and on the other side of a mountain, they got these circles coming out. Look like something, a big cloud with circles. I don't know what these men have done. They've created a world of illusion and fantasy and foolishness for our young people. The music they listen to has driven their minds to... My preacher friend asked me, have you been listening to the music that these kids listen to? I said, I've been listening to it for years. And I see what it's done to them. My grandson hums the tunes, okay? I couldn't even protect my own offspring from it. Not at all. They're all infected. This crazy dopamine of pleasure. If it's not drugs, if it's not sex, if it's not music, if it's not the thought of being famous, all of the things that I was taught as a young man, not even to put credence in, it appears that this younger generation hedonistically loves it. And I'm having a talk with this preacher in his 50s, and I'm saying, you're the younger preacher. I'm in my 70s. You what? You got 20 years on me? What do you do? What are you going to do? You're raising kids, man. What do you say to them? You know what he said to me? I can't say what you said to yours, because surely when you said it's yours, it went somewhere. It's not going anywhere now. Anywhere. And most people in my society are living in a manner that communicates that nothing is going to happen, that everything's all right, which is total insanity. You have to see the handwriting on the wall. America is done. Now, and I'm not speaking as a terrorist. I'm not speaking as someone that doesn't love America. Let me open up this window. It's just frustrating talking about it. Give me a minute. It's just frustrating talking about it publicly, because no one wants to hear it, especially in this age we're living in. No one wants to hear that... that their government is corrupt, and that the leaders of their nation is corrupt. In my conversation that I was having with this young man, I was having the conversation, and I was telling him that that the black community as we knew it, you know, where you had mother and father and child and somebody listening to authoritative persons that have proven themselves to be noteworthy in a leadership position, such as a parent, that doesn't exist. And I had a young man over to the house yesterday. I was thanking him for his lasting friendship on my behalf, and he asked me, did I understand the streets? And I told him that I thought that I did, and he informed me that street people live to survive the best way they can under their code of conduct, and that they would never abide by mine. And as good as that may sound, it's disastrous, because I'll never change my code of conduct. You see, but I'm I'm talking with you like this because I want to keep it very real. Unless you come with me on this journey of understanding the world that we both live in, you will not be able to survive it. Okay, so we'll call this Survival 101.
Okay.
In case I forget, I need to write this down. And I thought about it because of the YouTube clip that I was watching earlier today, Survival 101. All right, I thought about it because of the YouTube clip that I was watching today, which was about 52-minute advertisement for somebody to buy this Christian's book on how to survive America after January of 2017. And prior to watching that clip, I was watching another news video clip that, and I hope I'm able to put this up on my website. I was late getting the payment in this month. I hope they don't shut it down. But I was watching a video clip before that, which a lady, I don't know her name, was talking with the radio guy and telling him that giving some red lights that we are to see happen in our economy, in our infrastructure, before martial law comes into place. And she said that one of the red flags coming up would be the temporary shutdown of our banks due to computer problems. She says that you would know that we're getting ready to go into martial law and for all the banks to hold the money back and to take over America once we go into martial law. And she explained that process. And as she explained that process, it very well understandable and made all the sense in the world to me. Because if there's nothing left and there's nothing behind our money, there's nothing behind our economy, then everything here is fake. You know, you go to a car lot, you buy a car, right? You buy that car, you're paying so much of an interest rate. Well, when foreigners come to this country, what our politicians have done was sold us out because they can come and buy a car, buy a house at just a portion of the limited rate that we buy it for. Eventually, we won't own anything. The foreigners will own it. And that's what the intention. See, this is taking the sovereign state of America out. You own nothing. That's why our businesses fail. And then our health insurance fails. And will fail. Here's something else for you. People that think like me, the old-fashioned types, and I'm not talking about just one that believe in a white Jesus, because I never believed in that. But I do believe that I was free. I think that's where a lot of my depression comes from now, because I was under the impression that I was free, only to come to find out that in my own freaking country, that I've never been free. That the system has never set up anything to free me. I get a kick out of sharing with the young population how old I am. Feel like getting a t-shirt made up called Decades. EST, established 1944, and died with a big question mark. Maybe the question mark on my back would be a target for someone to say today. Because they would get rid of old people like me. If I were to leave a lasting message with the young generation, this would be it right now. My legacy is left on YouTube. I preached all over the place. I'm never going to take my YouTube page down. Upon death, when they don't see any movement, they'll probably remove it themselves. But I'm not going to remove it. I'm going to leave it up as a testimony to what I believed. I don't change my mind on any of it. I know. I only have one head to offer. Someone can torture me and make me say things that I would dare not say that if I were in my right mind. And I trust that God would not hold it against me. But these days I'm feeling this way. You know, I really am. I'm feeling this way. I thought that maybe finding a companion would solve my problem. I thought that maybe finding a new set of friends would. Whereas in essence, nothing is going to solve that problem. Absolutely nothing. Because it never solves itself. I believe that. Now, let me share with you why I say that. All right. I'm not a Bible pounder. I'm not a superstitious old man. I've read the Bible. And I believe in a lot of the prophetic things that were taught. I know that a lot of you that have not read the Bible and do not know the portions of scriptures that talks about eschatology, which is, and you can do the research on that term, it is the teaching of the end times, taken from a Judeo-Christian mindset or an apocalyptic view taken from other world religions that have the same thing, such as the Mayans and the Incas. They all had an end-time retribution type of thing at the end of their religion. And I'm sure that the Hindus and karma and all that kind of stuff kind of speaks of the same thing. And so I'm not completely out of my mind when I speak about the possibility of these things taking place right in front of us. Right in front of us. Now, what should my view be? I can't tell you what yours is. I believe in the, let me put it this way, I believe in the truest sense of what the Bible teaches, but I don't believe that the way men teach the Bible is the truest sense of making it God's word. The book is too darn, it would have to be more than a coincidence for all these things to be untrue, if you get my drift. It would have to be more than a coincidence. So that means that behind some of these thoughts and intentions was a mind. A brilliant mind that is not that of a man, because a man could not put these things together. I recall a scripture, greater love than no man than this, than a man laid down his life for a friend. And that's true. Very rarely will you find that. But then it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? Now, in the preparation of this love and to contend for its worthiness, we are told that a sacrifice was made. Sacrifice was made on a huge human writ scale. It takes more than just a believing mind to take this in, because that kept me. You have to understand, that kept me, that idea kept me from being vile. Vile is the term. Kept me from being bodacious. It kept me from being grotesque. It kept me from living a life that would be like a gang member going around killing and causing mayhem and death and disaster and sorrow and sickness and pain to someone else. I believed in the complete opposite of that. Utilitarian, I was. Help the community that I live in, strive to keep it strong and fresh, be that example for the young men and women in my community left behind. Now someone would say, for what? I have seen the worst of men in my life, and I have seen the goodness of certain men. I think I'm going to end up on the side of the goodness. I don't want to go nuts. I don't want to end up there. I desire to end up on absolutely the right side of history here. If America goes down, I'm going down with her, but I'm going to go down in a classical way that she retains her sense and sensibility. I'll put it that way. I'm going to be that guy that's going to hang in there for the sake of what is right and just in this country. I don't really understand what's going on now. I don't understand why uniformed policemen would kill a man, even if the man did have a gun. The man was not threatening them with the gun. Just because the man has a gun doesn't give you the right to shoot him and to kill him like that. The individual question is, and I'm just going to put it out there because I was having a discussion with another cleric. He said, if the guy was out there at 2 o'clock in the morning selling CDs in front of a convenience store, okay, why was he doing that? What was he doing? He's trying to feed his family. And so you make copies of CDs and things, and you just stand up there and try to sell some. And since people see you making money, there's money being exchanged to you, you bring your piece out, and so won't nobody take your money. I can understand that. Is that why the guy had a gun on him? If he had a gun on him? Because if he had a gun on him, and somebody said that he had a gun on him, that's why he had the gun on him. He wasn't out there trying to commit a robbery. He was out there to protect himself, if at all, from the police. My God. He's dead today. You see his 15-year-old son? You see that? See that? That didn't move you? That didn't move you? That didn't move you when he calling for his daddy? You know how it is when a black boy call for his daddy? Huh? No, he ain't calling for his mama. He's calling for his daddy. Do you know how important that is? My whole life in ministry when I was a pastor spoke about that. Man, I remember it was a message that I preached called From Boys to Men. It's on my website. You can find it. Scroll down that page. You find it. You ought to listen to that sermon where I was talking about how important it is to keep the male seed strong. I've seen so many weak examples. It's terrible. It's terrible. What has happened in our community? Just terrible. I'm not blaming any one group, any persons. I'm not blaming anything, but each of us individually are responsible for the encumbrance of this madness. And still here we don't know how to respond when this man is murdered again. Another black man murdered by murderous, bloodthirsty, treacherous, sluggardly policemen. Huh. And you know, how many of the other videos have people put up on Facebook and all these other damn social medias of white cops, 20 of them surrounding one white man with a gun, and how they tase him and take him down, and nobody shoots him. Nobody shoots him. Why is it when a black man, he is seen as some damn animal, something that you have to kill, something that you have to protect yourself from? You need to go to the malls. You need to, man, they got a mall here in Los Angeles called The Grove. And when you go down there, you got so many foreigners from other countries and everything. Now, you get in an elevator, you let a black man my age get into an elevator with a whole family of look like Russians or something, and how they hold their women towards them and don't let their children rub up against a person in the elevator. They bring this blatant stuff over here, and our government is letting these people over here by the droves because they got fresh money to spend and the American citizens have none. We confront it real shortly with martial law here in this country because the general population is just not going to continue to take this. Oh, don't worry about me. I'm too old. I'm not even a threat. They aren't even worried about me. Trust me. My little webcast here, they don't even view me as a threat. Nah. Not really. Not a threat at all, boy. And you know why I'm not a threat at all? Because I'm a black man living in the inner city. Just a talking head on a website that should be shut down. And I'm telling you that nothing is going to happen in our community because our community has bred a bunch of spineless individuals that don't even know how to listen. If we're letting our sons and daughters or whoever these people are in Chicago kill us at random, shoot our babies down in the street, I don't know what else to say. I mean, we don't know what to do. Who do we hold accountable? What do? You take the cops and put them on administrative leave? Somebody was even questioning, why did the girl drop the phone after she was filming it? She was in shock. That's why she dropped it. I wish she had held the phone steady too, so you can have a witness of the other bullets that went into the person. I don't think the man was struggling. I really don't. Because both of his hands was down to the side. Even if they did find a gun, he wasn't reaching for it. But just because a black man has a gun on him, does that make it a death sentence? You know, and your stupid president, that idiot, I guess he's going to say, well, is he going to say guns cause this too? I can't wait to hear what he got to say. If the man was there trying to make some money for his family, and it's a darn shame that a man that age, all he can do is sell movies and records of some of this filth some of these people are putting out to make a living. That just shows you the and I'm not trying to keep up for him because I don't know anything about his life, but what a man did in the past does not justify you killing him. I don't care what you, man, please. I'm not going to try to justify that man's behavior if he was criminal and if he had criminal intents. What you will reap what you will sow. That's what I say to that, so I'm not questioning that. What I am questioning is it didn't take that. It did not take that. And we will never hear that unanimously from any group of individuals in this country for shame of being redlined or marginalized. No one will speak up the truth anymore. It appears that truth frightens us. It enables us. Disables us, that shit. I was of a mind to believe that one's behavior can be justified. Sometimes, and I'm sounding like I'm in confusion, because I can't justify the behavior of what those so-called sworn policemen of the law did. And I cannot justify the behavior of our Constitution. I'm beginning to take on the, and I'll say it publicly, and I know that it'll be held against me, but I must line myself up on the side with African-American people that knows that we'll never be free. We'll never be deemed as citizens. I don't care, you can get an education. You can, just wait a minute. You can go to school. You can do good deeds. You can help people. You can smile, be kind. None of it will be recorded as valiant in this country, because this country has a double standard, which makes it double-dyed wrong. Truth and liberty and justice for all is a lie. Some will be allowed to slip through, to get through. In other words, the Whoopi Goldbergs. They'll be allowed through the massive media thing. Some Oprah Winfrey's, the Barack Obamas. Yes, you find a few. But the majority of us that are working individuals and that will not play up or placate themselves to that kind of trash, we'll always work, lose our jobs, lose our homes. We'll cry. We'll suffer. We'll become homeless. And we'll die. The only way that that is going to be changed is that if we start right now where we are on an individual basis to think about life and to the preserving of it, even if it means one of our families existing and lasting through this terrible time that's going to come on us. When the lights go out, mark my word, they're going out. They have to. And our way of life is going to be changed forever. Now, some people have already given in to that disposition. You can tell that by all the food, the water, and the canned goods and ammunition that they're stocking up. Why are they doing this? And these are primarily Anglo-Saxon Americans in America. A few Hispanics are doing it, and very few blacks. Because, I don't know, maybe the brothers think that Jesus is going to come to the sky and resurrect them before all this takes place. Wow. Do I sound disillusioned to you? Do I sound like I'm out of whack? Do I sound like I'm barking up the wrong tree? Or is there a very good possibility that what I'm saying is true? Just got this empty, deep feeling in me, man. Deep feeling, watching that boy cry like that. I said, no, boy. I don't know what's coming out of this, people. The only thing that I can ask of you is that you do like I'm doing. Spend some time with God. Talk with Him. Seriously. Commune with God about this. Those of you of other religions, I believe that the God of all people is the same God. He's the same one. We just call on Him in our different ways, different circumstances, different things like that. The same God. We just different down here. We screwed up. God is the same yesterday, today, forevermore. God knew. Knew. That this death was going to take place. He didn't intervene. We have to do that. If we're to bring justice back to our culture and our society, we have to do it by now acting like we have a piece of the pie that got some brains in it. instead of retaliatory. That's it. That's the word. I'm going to retaliate. Now, too much. But my head is reeling with it now. So I'm going to say goodbye for now. I maybe next time I come back, I'll have something pertinent to say other than this foolishness that I'm dealing with. And I have no answers. But I'm not going to get on my knees and say something stupid like, well, I'm not going to do that. Thanks for coming to my website.